When it comes to your finances, go for the credit card that's always there for you. With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, that means no more waiting for, quote, normal business hours just to get a hold of someone. Real service from real people whenever you need it. Get the customer service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. This episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Plus, auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Quote now at progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, national average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary, discounts not available in all states and situations.
Welcome to Star Talk, your place in the universe where science and pop culture collide. Star Talk begins right now.
Welcome, everybody, to another amazing installment of Star Talk Live. It is my great and humble pleasure to bring out America's voice of science, Neil deGrasse Tyson!
So, Eugene, tonight we're going to devote the whole evening to talking about storm systems and climate.
So let's bring out our guests.
Yeah, your guest first.
Yeah. Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, the amazing Michael Showalter.
I got two more seats. I have some expertise in weather and storms, but nowhere near what is necessary to pull this evening off. So I found Dr. Adam Sobel, who is a climate scientist from Columbia University. Adam, come on out. Adam! And we like to have someone who we all know, and he just came 20 minutes ago from 30 Rock. Join me in welcoming Questlove! Questlove, who I think has the largest afro left in the universe.
And there's others that are larger. Yeah.
There's a rabbi I know. Yeah.
So, we've titled this show, Storms of Our Century. And, you know, we've had a few storms lately. So, Adam, it seems to me it's looking kind of bad, these intense storms. I don't know that we've had more storms. The ones we've had seem to be sort of record-breaking intensity and scale and size and damage. And so, first, let me just ask you, where the hell do these storms come from? Are you making them in your lab? You a mad scientist in your Columbia lab?
No.
Al-Qaeda. Prove me wrong, science man.
No, we don't make them.
Okay, all right. Let the record show. Yes.
Scientific name for hurricane is a tropical cyclone, so they come from the tropics.
Okay, so even if it goes across Manhattan, it's called a tropical cyclone.
Well,
are you blaming immigrants for storms?
You could view the storm itself as an immigrant to our shores.
Yeah.
Yeah, a Venezuelan weapon. That's how I see it.
A tropical cyclone forms in the tropics, but it has some other characteristics. And if it keeps those characteristics as it comes further poleward, then we still call it a tropical cyclone. That would be north.
I'm translating.
In
north,
this hemisphere.
Yes, in this. Okay. Oh, sorry. So he gave the general answer because in the southern hemisphere,
right,
it could go to the South Pole.
Right.
Very good.
Right.
Poleward. Very nice. Okay. He's not limited to a hemisphere of activity. Yes, right. He studies it all.
You learn that when you talk to the Australians about
the Australians, yeah. So how do you make these storms? What goes on?
A tropical cyclone has a few characteristics, one of which is that it comes from the tropics. Another of which is that it tends to be, when they get strong, they're very circularly symmetric. So when you look down from space, as you see those satellite images, you see the swirling pinwheely thing.
It becomes more and more beautiful.
Yeah.
It's more and more beautiful with a nice eye, yeah.
Right. The other thing about it is that it's warm in the middle compared to the air outside. Whereas an extratropical cyclone, which is the kind that we're going to have tomorrow, is cold in the middle.
So right after people go home tonight, there's going to be a storm. This is bad coincidence. We're going to get blamed for this, you know. We'll blame you. So tomorrow it will be cold in the middle. So if you can have a storm where it's cold in the middle and a storm where it's hot in the middle,
right?
Then you're not telling me that you understand what makes storms. If it can be
hot
or cold.
Yeah, there's two of a thing. How could that be?
No, if it's two. No,
that sounds insane to me.
If the two things are opposite, I need some explain. Yes.
Right. So they get their energy from different places. So the tropical cyclone gets its energy from the warm ocean.
The Caribbean.
Could be the Caribbean.
Okay.
Could be other warm oceans of the world, the Pacific,
mm-hmm.
Indian.
Or wherever it's warm underneath.
Wherever it's warm enough. And it's really warm compared to the atmosphere. So it's giving off heat because the atmosphere is in some way colder than the ocean. So
above the ocean.
It's venting. The hurricane is a very organized and powerful way that the atmosphere sucks heat out of the ocean.
Well, I hadn't thought about it that way.
Yeah.
So the atmosphere sucks. Okay. Go on.
And the winter storm, the extratropical storm, is different. So it doesn't care that much about the ocean underneath it, but it gets its energy from the fact that the low latitudes are warm and the high latitudes are cold. And that's because of how the sun shines, you know, at different angles on the different parts of the planet. And so when you have part of the planet being warm and part of the planet being cold, the climate doesn't like that. I mean, if you were to heat up half of the room and cool the other half, you'd have a contrast that would want to even itself out and you'd make a wind to...
There'd be turbulence
midway.
There'd
be turbulence.
Yes.
But because the Earth is spinning, they can't flatten out. The warm air can't get to the pole easily, and the cold air can't get to the equator easily, because as they try to go, the Coriolis force...
Coriolis. Nice.
Yeah.
Coriolis force.
It's one of my favorite four forces.
It's not a real force, actually.
But it's one of the Corys.
I got that.
Corey Haim.
I got it.
Corey Feldman and Coriolis. He was in the Lost Boys.
Yeah, Coriolis.
I heard he's selling his teeth on eBay.
All right, so I got a blob of warm air north of the equator. I got a blob of cold air up north.
Yeah.
And they're trying to equalize.
Yeah, but they can't do it. So instead what happens, the Coriolis force turns them and you get the jet stream. The jet stream is what you have instead. So the jet stream is like the boundary between the warm and the cold, and it can stay there because the rotation of the Earth keeps it there in balance between the warm and the cold. It blows around the planet, but it's unstable. So the warm and the cold still kind of want to mix, because that would be
fun.
If the climate...
Yeah, exactly.
If the atmosphere could
That's
get to...
That's how babies happen.
Get a room, warm and cold.
Yeah, I know, yeah, I know. You cannot keep the warm and cold apart, is your point.
You can keep them apart for a while, but the jet stream starts to wiggle. Mm-hmm. It develops undulations in it, and those are extratropical cyclones. Those are winter storms.
Okay. Interesting.
Too easy?
Yeah.
Too easy.
He's literally describing sex. And it makes me uncomfortable. Now I get why there's climate change deniers. There's no way the wind is doing it.
So then the storm dances up on you. And
right. Undulates.
I hadn't thought about it that way.
Because you describe it that way, I can't believe you haven't thought about it that way.
So, you got the hot air trying to go north, cold air trying to come south, a jet stream that keeps them at bay temporarily. The jet stream gives in, begins to undulate, and that undulation is itself the birth of a storm.
Yes.
The jet stream is the chaperone of weather.
Yes, yeah. There you go.
At the junior high dance of climate science.
Okay. All right, so now got the hot air trying to go north, and it overtakes the part where it's headed towards, right?
Right.
You with permission.
That. Yes.
The overtaking gives you fronts. As the jet stream develops wiggles in it, the cold and warm, they wrap up and you get fronts. That's where you have cold air and warm air right next to each other.
Okay. But now you get this sort of circulation.
Yeah. But the thing to remember is that because an extratropical cyclone develops from a temperature contrast, that's an asymmetry. And so the extratropical storm, the winter storm, inherits that asymmetry.
So they're not beautiful spirals?
No, the clouds tend to have a comma shape.
I've seen that.
Yeah.
This, like, the nor'easters have that, don't
yes.
they? A huge yes. comma.
Right.
Yeah.
We call it a comma cloud. That's the technical term.
Comma cloud, okay.
They do that in San Diego every year, right?
The comma cloud.
Everyone dresses up like a robot, and yeah.
All right, I got here the Saffir-Simpson scale.
Yes.
Which has been invoked. Anytime you hear about them talking about hurricanes, they're using this scale. And it's the hurricane intensity scale from 1 to 5.
Right.
I once looked up the description of the damage at each one of these intensity scales. And it was like the descent into hell in a Dante storyline. Like, so category 1, they said, heavy winds. Right, so the wind is, you got this memorized, the winds? Category 1?
65 knots. Which is about 75 miles an hour.
We're not people here. We are.
Okay. You want a meter per second? I can go to meter per second.
Oh, yeah, meter. That's better. Meters per second. I bet they're slopping these boundaries, but it's like 75 up to like 100 miles an hour, basically. So they said at these speeds, you lose some roofs, some branches fall, local flooding. That's that. Category 2, 96 to 110 miles an hour. 20% of roofs will blow off. Some windows will blow out. Trees begin to topple.
People start defriending each other on Facebook.
Category 3. 111 miles an hour to 129 miles an hour. Like, all roofs that are not hurricane-proof blow down. 50% of trees have broken branches, 20% fall over entirely, severe flooding in most places.
People start following Justin Bieber.
And then category 4, where we're up to 130 to 156 miles an hour, it talks about leaves on trees being ripped clean from the tree itself. And then it says category 5, no trees are left standing. Nearly all roofs are blown off. Most structures are leveled. Everything is flooded. This is Earth trying to kill us. Do people say Earth is a haven for life? Earth is beautiful.
Earth wants us to stop hooking up so casually.
So you guys came up with the scale, and it's pretty devastating. Yeah. Obviously, the category 5s are rare. But in another segment of the show, we'll go over the list of the badass hurricanes that have come through town. I'm just curious, this is an energy scale, basically, right?
Yeah.
The destructive energy.
It's the maximum sustained wind.
How do you get a Category 5 hurricane? What are the ingredients?
You have to have very warm ocean, usually not just at the surface of the ocean, but a deeper layer, because as the hurricane spins, it'll mix up water from below and the water will be colder. And so if the water below is colder, it'll cool off. So you want a deep layer of warm water.
Oh, so you're saying a hurricane can shut itself off?
If it sits in one place for long enough. So if it moves fast, it doesn't happen because
it keeps taking heat for every next place it just...
Right, exactly.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, but if it sits in one place for long enough and the water below the surface is cold, then the turbulence brings up cold water and it can shut itself off.
Is that common? Do hurricanes commonly just stay in one place and
then
disappear?
No, they move. But if they move slow, you know, it can,
right.
That can happen to some extent.
Okay, so it's warm, deep.
Warm,
so
deep.
As it sucks... Yeah. The heat, there's more heat available to it,
yeah.
So it doesn't shut itself off.
So warm water, you want to start with a humid atmosphere, very high humidity in the atmosphere.
Okay.
And another thing they don't like is what's called wind shear, which is when the...
Who's they?
The hurricanes.
They don't like it means that makes them less bad.
Right.
Can okay. I ask a really stupid question?
The hurricane is bad, so anything it, you know...
We have a question.
I have a stupid question. Could you stop a hurricane? Could you go, there's a really big hurricane happening.
Yeah.
Let's go get the hurricane stopper.
Yeah, it's physically possible. It's been thought about quite a lot. And it's just difficult and expensive.
You're saying so no one has approached Samuel Jackson?
Is it as expensive as the damage that a hurricane
That's a good question.
Causes?
So there's been a few, you know, ideas that have
That's a smart question.
Yeah, if it costs $50 billion and you could use it, I don't know, twice, would that be worth it?
So there's a lot of ideas, and the ones that those of us in environmental science don't like are the ones involving nuclear bombs.
Oh.
But the ones that
forget it.
The ones that make a little more sense.
Wait. How does a nuclear bomb...
Yeah, I was like, how are you going to let this...
You're
just...
like, obviously you could just drop a nuclear bomb on a hurricane. But, you know, that sounds bad because it's so windy there.
Yeah, because... And
so naturally...
You just told me that hurricanes like heat, okay?
Right.
It is a bomb because it makes heat.
Okay.
They are thermonuclear explosions. How do you stop a hurricane with a nuclear bomb?
So, you have 10 minutes, MacGyver.
I'd rather not defend the nuclear bomb idea if I could.
But we are curious.
There have been ideas put out there with nuclear bombs. I don't think they're...
It just does so much.
You know,
stuff
if you could change the circulation of the atmosphere enough,
right.
you could
right.
disrupt
right.
it.
It blows up the hurricane and what's ever underneath it.
Yeah.
Is sort of what you're saying.
It's a bad idea. There's better ideas.
Let's hear the good idea.
Go.
Okay.
Better idea.
Because the hurricane lives from getting its energy out of the warm ocean, if you could cool the ocean, you could weaken the hurricane. So one idea that is feasible but just very expensive.
Ice cubes.
Ice cubes? Well, it would take a lot of ice cubes, but one idea that's been...
Well, you drag a glacier down... And stick it right there in the... That's like
go.
A big ice cube.
Or they float down. They just float
the
down there
Brewster's
anyway.
It's Brewster's Millions.
Yes. I remember that.
Yes, from Brewster's Millions.
Another idea is just pumps to bring up colder water from below. So if you had a lot of pumps in the ocean bring up the colder water, you could cool the ocean and weaken the hurricane.
That's a great idea.
You need a lot of pumps. You'd have to get them there ahead of time. You'd have to do it fast enough. And so, you know...
The 40 pumps, 90 pumps?
The hurricane is very large.
The pumps need to be mobile.
They certainly need to be mobile.
You can't just line the whole ocean with pumps.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
You can't just preemptively put pumps everywhere.
No. You'd have to deploy them in the right place at the right time. So it's very expensive. You know, the other interesting thing about it is
yeah, plus, don't you mess with fishes?
Oh, yeah.
If a fish likes cold water at the bottom, because that's why they're hanging out there, and you circulate them back up to the top.
You don't have to go all the way to the bottom. You'd have to go down a few hundred meters.
Yeah, there's no fish in the middle.
That's what it sounds like.
I
said, I'm worried about the fish. Oh, no, you don't have to go that. No, there's fish everywhere in the ocean.
I don't know what it would do to the fish.
Fish aren't
might not
his
like
thing.
It.
That,
yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Fish might not
but,
like
but
it.
But that would work. That would be one solution.
At least weaken a hurricane that way. You could do a lot of things. I think one thing that somebody brought up once in a discussion I was in about this is that there's other ideas that would change the track of the hurricane.
Yeah, send it to
send
Iran.
So if... Probably not that far, but a lot of these things
towards Iran.
When we try to intervene in the atmosphere in these ways, we usually don't do it quite right, and things don't go exactly as you plan because the atmosphere is very, very unpredictable. So if you were to try to do something to a hurricane, no matter what you did, and no matter whether you did it or not, if the hurricane hit anyone, they would sue you because they could say you made it happen.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
So in a legalistic society, it's probably not a good idea.
So my actual example of Iran was actually pretty good. It'd be the one place that people would be like, I don't care that you're suing me.
That's right.
No, but this is an interesting sociocultural point.
That's right.
Because if you don't redirect the hurricane, as insurance forms duly indicate, it's an act of God. If you do redirect the hurricane, it's an act of Andy.
Yeah. Adam. Joe Biden.
Adam, I call him Andy. Excuse me.
Even if you tried to redirect it, and even if you didn't do anything to it, but you tried to do something, it would look like you did it, right? Because nobody knows where the hurricane would have gone.
Right.
If you hadn't done it.
So they'd rather blame God than a human being.
They can't sue God.
That's right.
They could probably file. but you could then redirect a hurricane. You just would never bring it up.
I don't know if we could do it, but
But if you tried to, don't tell anyone you did that.
Right.
Yes, that's
just
what that
to
is.
Avoid the legal headache of sending a hurricane to another place.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. Dear small and medium businesses, no one wants happy customers more than you do. So you need a business partner just like you, like FedEx, who understands your passion for serving your customers because they have the same commitment towards you. That's why FedEx offers you picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the US on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. What's more, FedEx Ground is faster to more locations than UPS Ground. Trust FedEx for timely deliveries. See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively, FedEx.
Whether you're a family vacation traveler, business tripper, or long weekend adventurer, Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. And that's good, because there are a lot of me's. Choice Hotels has over 7,400 locations and 22 brands, including Comfort Hotels, Radisson Hotels, and Cambria Hotels. Get the best value for your money when you book with Choice Hotels. Cambria Hotels feature locally inspired hotel bars with specialty cocktails and downtown locations in the center of it all. Hey, that's me. Radisson Hotels have flexible workspaces to get the most of your business travel and on-site restaurants. That's me, too. And at Comfort Hotels, you'll enjoy free hot breakfast with fresh waffles, great pools for the entire family, and spacious rooms. Hey, that's me, too. I guess I'm just going to have to stay at all of them. Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. Book direct at choicehotels.com, where travel comes true.
Hey, remember when we did that show about the science of the golf swing? Well, let's take that to the next level. And that's because PXG has developed the Black Ops driver so golfers don't have to sacrifice distance for forgiveness. And the science proves it. PXG Black Ops driver is a breakthrough in driver technology. It's a complete and total victory in golf club engineering, unlike anything you've ever seen before. Black Ops drivers are adjustable to deliver a combined MOI of 10,000 plus for unreal forgiveness. Now that's ridiculously high. The higher the MOI, the more forgiving the club will play. So you don't have to square the ball perfectly for it to go straight and get distance. Add PXG's new advanced material face technology, and you get incredible ball speed that pushes the distance to the absolute limits. More forgiveness, more distance, no sacrifices. PXG Black Ops driver. Hit your tee shot straighter and farther. The proof is in the science. Learn more and get free shipping on all equipment. Go to pxg.com/startalk and use code startalk at checkout. That's pxg.com/startalk. Use code startalk for free shipping on all equipment. pxg.com/startalk, code startalk.
We create a drink of the night to serve the theme of the evening, and I collaborated with the bartender. So we created something called
the Stormy Weather.
It is rye, a common drink from the north, mixed with ginger beer, a common drink from the tropics.
Nice.
Stormy weather up the whole coast. So tell me what happened with Sandy. All right, I lived in Lower Manhattan. We were out of electricity for 5 days, ran out of water after 2 days, so you can't flush the toilet. So like we had to leave. And what intrigues me about Sandy is that the hurricane didn't take out Lower Manhattan. It was the tides. That's all it was. And that was enough to take us out.
Yeah, 9 feet.
You live at the edge of an island.
And wasn't it also the levees in New Orleans?
And the levees in New Orleans. Yeah. So here we are ready to blame hurricanes. And I'm thinking, no, there's an engineering problem here that has not been met.
No, well, I'll say that I live right where, I'm a brand new New Yorker. Okay, not West Side Highway, but the
East FDR.
Side Highway.
Yeah, thanks. In September, 3 weeks before Sandy, I noticed that the water level was unusually higher than normal.
And you didn't tell anyone?
Okay, I'll be honest. The person next to me was like, they were making a big deal of it. Like, something's going to happen because the water level was different. You know, I just dismissed it. Like, whatever, you're crazy.
Right.
And then 3 weeks later,
that person was first on the phone. Like, I told you it was going to happen. You know, I was like, well, what are you out there every night, like measuring the water levels? And
yeah, what are you, a water scientist? That's a thing.
Yeah, so I was just intrigued because there were some trees down and some awesome trees fell. You know, all the basements were flooded. And the underground parking garages, cars were bobbing up out from the openings. And it was like an apocalypse, downtown apocalypse. And it was not even any of the properties of the hurricane that are normally cited, because it didn't rain very hard.
It was mostly windy and then the
windy
full moon.
And then the tide surge.
Storm surge, yeah.
The storm surge. And so what I find interesting is most people think that the full moon has like extra gravity to make the tides. The moon, when it's full, does not make any higher tides than it's at any other phase. The only difference is it lines up with the sun at the same time so that their tides add together, giving you the highest tides of the month. Because the tide is only a function of how far the moon is from Earth.
So a full
that
moon
has nothing to do with the phase at all.
Wait, so the full moon is just an indication that the tides will be higher because it's lined up with the sun,
because
but not the result of it.
It's not the result of it being full.
It's just
other
a warning.
Than it's when it's lined up with the sun, you're seeing a full side of the moon lit up. But the fact that the moon is full alone is not. If there were no sun, you'd have the same high tide every day of the month.
So it'd be fine if we just had no sun. That is a very good point, Neil. Thank you for clarifying that the real culprit is that we have a sun.
So was it just bad luck that Sandy hit Manhattan at high tide of the day and high tide of the month? Because there's several high tides in a day, and then it's the highest tide during full moon and new moon.
Yeah, it was bad luck. The difference between high and low tide at that time was about 5 feet. And yeah, the peak of the storm surge, which doesn't last that long, a couple hours maybe, came very close to the high tide so that we got the maximum of both of them at the same time. So the tide was about at the battery.
The battery, the tip of Manhattan.
Lower Manhattan, right. There's a tide gauge there, and it measured, so 5 feet of tide, 9 feet of storm surge, about 14 feet above the low tide.
I have a question. Is it easier, instead of getting rid of a hurricane, to delay it then? To just be like, they come like tomorrow.
No, not tomorrow. Come in a few hours.
Come in a few hours.
Yeah. If it came 3 hours later or earlier, we would have been fine.
If it had come 3 hours later, it would have been a lot better for Manhattan and maybe Staten Island, Brooklyn too. It would have been a lot worse in Long Island Sound because their tides are 3 hours.
Who cares?
I know, right. Way more people live in Manhattan than on the Long Island Sound. Oh,
Billy Joel's best albums are behind.
Oh, your mom lives, okay. So Sandy was unusual for New York simply because we had bad luck, is what you're saying.
Well, it was unusual in a lot of ways. The synchronization of the storm surge and the tide was one of them. It was also just a big storm surge because it was marginal category 1, 40 or something miles per hour. So winds that strong were out to about 500 miles from the center. So something like 1,000 end to end.
Wow.
So very, very large area of high winds.
Okay.
And they were blowing right towards the shore. Over a very long area.
So that builds up the tidal surge.
It builds it up. The length over which the wind blows the same way is called the fetch. And the fetch was very large. It blowing the water continuously.
So persistent winds is what gives you the...
And blowing right into shore.
So the point is, the surge can get us. Heavy rains can get us. Heavy winds can get us. There's three ways hurricanes mess with us.
Yeah, and surge is the one we'll always have to worry about the most in New York. Because we're in a lot of low-lying areas. We're not going to get a category 4 or 5 storm here. The water's too cold. Miami or something's a different story.
I was just imagining that was category 1 that was Sandy, and if Sandy were category 3, we'd still be without power.
Yeah, well, it depends. I mean, a smaller storm would have been very destructive, but over a much smaller area. And the surge depends on the angle it comes in at, the speed it comes in at, the size of the storm. So it was a bad scenario for New York City.
We know.
You think we figured that out. Yeah. Okay. So we have some bad hurricanes. In 1900, the great Galveston hurricane. Now, I read this, and someone's applauding.
Give it up for a hurricane?
Give it up for Hurricane Galveston! So I look at this. Wait. Peak winds, 150 miles an hour. The island Galveston, this is off southern Texas. The island is 8 feet above sea level, and the storm surge was 15 feet. So the entire island got wiped clean. I heard a Jesus over here. Yes?
Yeah. It's the first time that person has heard about anything sad.
So in Galveston, 6,000 people died. This is before we had satellite images. And half the people said, I don't need a space program. Oh, wait, what is the hurricane coming? So back then, they couldn't predict. So tapping my greatest hits list here, 1926, there was a hurricane that hit Miami. That was 1926, 128 mile an hour winds. If you had that hurricane hit today on that trajectory, it would be the most devastating hurricane in history because the population centers are different today and are much more dense than they were back then. So,
because people keep having sex.
Yes, precisely. And so hurricanes can grow in their damage factor simply because of our living patterns. I got 1936, Labor Day hurricane. So this is the most powerful hurricane on record hitting the United States. Did you know this?
I did not.
Yeah. So that one tore through the Florida Keys, full up Category 5, 180 mile an hour winds.
Whoa.
Atmospheric pressure, 26.35 inches of mercury. Yeah, that was low. I got 1991, Hurricane Grace. You know what put that on the map?
Perfect storm. The perfect storm.
The perfect storm. That's right. That was a
Matt Damon. He's not in it, but he might as well.
You find a way to mention Matt Damon for every one of these stars.
I just want him to be my friend. Please find me, Matt Damon. I am also from Boston.
So that one apparently is only Category 2, but it combined with a mid-Atlantic cyclone, so everything came perfect for the hurricane, and it made a movie.
Yeah.
It was similar to Sandy in a lot of ways, except that Sandy hit us.
Sandy, I got a place out on Long Island, so I care about this Long Island sound. I joked earlier. I care. And a 3,000-pound tree fell 2 feet to the side of my car. The car still got dinged up, but it wasn't smashed up. I told my son to go out and count the tree rings, which he did. He got something like 70 rings.
Yeah.
And this is one of the biggest trees in the property. And I said, wait a minute, if this is one of the biggest trees and it has presumably the most rings, that means none of these trees were here earlier than 70 years ago. You know, you go back.
So one ring equals 1 year?
Yes, yes. Because the ring represents the growth pattern. Because over the winter, the tree doesn't grow. It needs energy from the sun, which it gets through photosynthesis in the leaves. So it needs the leaves.
Oh, and there's no sun in the winter. I get it. Go on.
No, there's no leaves in the winter. So then I looked it up and I found out there was a devastating hurricane that crossed Long Island, like in 1938 or something.
Yeah.
So there's no like significant vegetation that survived that transition. So a high-powered hurricane, you pivot civilization on things like that.
Yeah, 38 was a very destructive storm. The strongest one, I think, to come make landfall in this area.
Is that the one that was in Rhode Island?
Yeah, okay, yeah, it made landfall first in Long Island and then went through New England. So.
Yeah, so I got a couple more here. So Hurricane Andrew.
Yep.
Now, because it's named Andrew and Andrew begins with A, that means what about it?
First one of the season.
So Hurricane Andrew is on the books at $40 billion in damage. And it was huge. It was a huge hurricane. It carried a lot of energy in it, right?
Yes.
Okay, just thank you.
It was a cost
he missed that class. He obviously missed the Hurricane Andrew class.
2005, of course, Katrina. In fact, that was Category 5 in the Gulf. Landfall was only Category 3. And so New Orleans should have surely survived that. And it's really just faulty engineering there. Does anybody else get severe weather like the United States does? We get hurricanes and tornadoes and drought and flood and fires and locusts and frogs. And we call our country, you know, God bless America. And it looks like God is not blessing America when you add all this up.
There's definitely places that get it a lot worse in terms of hurricanes. In tornadoes, we're number one.
We win! Oh, by the way, we take for granted that in The Wizard of Oz, they just showed a tornado. But if we are the capital of tornado and Kansas is Tornado Alley, then what is routine for us becomes the center point of a film. For the rest of the world, that's an extraordinary weather phenomenon.
Yeah.
Okay.
So is the Land of Oz.
So is the West. Yeah, Oz would have been a little more surreal than the tornado itself. I would have to agree with that.
Do you want to set up your child for success? Of course you do. Maybe you want to save money on private tutoring, or maybe it's just out of your budget altogether. Is this a big school year for your child? Like maybe they're starting kindergarten, middle school, or high school, or some other milestone. Maybe your family moved and they're starting at a new school. Is your child ahead? Not getting challenged enough in class? Well, we love that little smarty, but we want them to be engaged. IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids covering math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed to help them really understand and master topics in a fun way. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid, no matter the age or the personality. There's one site for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. Kids can use it at home on the computer or on the go through the app on your phone or your tablet. No more grading those worksheets. IXL grades everything itself. And no more trying to figure out how to explain math equations or grammar rules yourself. IXL has built-in explanation videos. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And Star Talk Radio listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/StarTalk. Visit IXL.com/StarTalk to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Want to make mom's day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
So, you know, hurricanes before this past century, like the storm of 1609, that decade was extraordinary in science and literature. Kepler was alive at the time, a famous astronomer. So was Galileo. 1609, Galileo made his first observations of the night sky with his newly built telescope and published a book a year later called Sidereus Nuncius, where he drew the fact that Jupiter had these stars that hung around with it, that would turn out to be Jupiter's moons. He mapped spots on the sun, and Queen Elizabeth was Queen of England, and at work was also Shakespeare. And the storm of 1609, various fleets were in the mid-Atlantic moving between England and the colonies. That became the basis of William Shakespeare's play, The Tempest. When did you guys start naming hurricanes?
And who names them?
And who names them? Thank you.
And why isn't it me? Hurricane Mr. Jelly! Can't be mad at him.
I don't know the exact year. They started getting names shortly after World War II.
That late?
Yeah.
Wow. And I remember...
So, for example, the 38 is called the 38 Hurricane. It's not called...
It's not called Fred or something. Yeah. Okay, now, I understood. Correct me if I'm wrong. Initially, all hurricanes were only named after women. Because...
They're terrible. Because they use their wiles to control us.
Yeah, you know, because at the time, No one was able to predict which way the hurricane was going, and all of the meteorologists were men.
Like
and
a woman.
So they analogized the unpredictability of hurricanes to the unpredictability of their spouses. Well,
you're lying.
I can't believe I was less sexist than they were.
Scientist.
But there's the Shakespeare line, hell hath no fury like a woman scorned.
I can neither confirm nor deny that story.
Okay.
Wait, no, I have a question.
Because it was only during the rise of the modern women's liberation movement of the 1970s where they started interlacing them with names.
Yeah, wait, I have a question. When could they start predicting that hurricanes might come? Like, because in the 1800s, they probably were like, oh my God, it's so windy. But
no, 38 hurricane, they didn't know until 2 seconds before it, right?
I think it was a little bit better than that.
Better than 2 seconds in advance.
Yeah, I mean, there were forecasts from way back, but they weren't any good.
That's not a forecast, that's witchcraft.
A forecast is just if you say what's going to happen. Right, being right is another thing. Right?
Yes.
Whoa!
I agree with yeah. Whoa! But that's a super interesting thing.
That's why they pay me the big
When
bucks.
Did they start forecasting with like a modicum of possible accuracy?
The first attempts to use the laws of physics to predict the weather were, you know, in the early 20th century. It got more serious after World War II when we had computers to actually
Doesn't
solve
Doppler
the equations.
Doppler have something to do with
it? Doppler has something to do with it. That came later. Doppler radars use to see how fast the raindrops are moving. Yeah.
Yeah, wait, what is Doppler then? How fast raindrops fall? That sounds very romantic.
Doppler is the
Was
Doppler.
Was that a guy?
Johnny Doppler.
It's a gentleman named Christian Doppler.
Yes.
And he's a German physicist, and he did experiments with train whistles.
Right.
And he noted that as a train approached, it
got
was a high
louder.
Pitch. No, well, yes, it got louder.
It got louder. Isn't that what it was?
The discovery wasn't that noises get louder as they approach you. So the train whistle comes, and what he noticed was that the pitch of the sound was higher as it approached him than what it was when it receded. So for us modern folk, if you stand on the edge of a highway, the car will go, meow.
It was
very good.
So you can calculate the shift change, the shift in the pitch, and know exactly the speed of the train. So the sound waves get emitted. So I emit a wave, but I'm in motion. So I come a little closer, and then I make my next wave, so I've compressed the waves in front of me. So the wavelength increased, and when you have an increased wavelength, the pitch is lower.
Right.
Okay? The frequency, in physics terms, is lower. So once you measure that shift, you know exactly how fast the thing is moving. And it's because of that fact of physics, we know we live in an expanding universe.
But back to raindrops.
Back to raindrops. Right. So on a more cosmic scale, it also tells us how fast the raindrops are moving towards us or away from us.
Okay.
Doppler radar can tell you not just that it's raining or how hard it's raining, but which direction the winds are blowing in the place where it's raining.
And so when did forecasting go from, like, I think it's going to be windy in a week to, like...
I know it's going to be windy
I'm
in a week.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's so windy.
This is an important story of Hurricane Sandy, actually. The modern science of weather forecasting started to be what it is shortly after World War II with the first computer weather models. And then over time, those computer models have gotten better and better. Of course, computers have gotten much more powerful. What your phone can do is much more powerful than the first computers that ran
weather
models. I know.
I wish I could go back in time and tease those people.
Right. And then the observations, the measurements with the balloons and the radars, now the satellites that we need to tell the models how to start the forecast because they need to know what's happening now to get to the future, has all gotten much better. Hurricane Sandy was forecast pretty accurately by some of the models about a week ahead of time. Some of them were doing something different a week ahead of time, so we weren't sure if that forecast was right by about 4 days before we were pretty sure. That's an amazing achievement that couldn't have been done a decade or two
and
ago.
And 4 days warning is enough to prepare a city. Yeah, so in New York City, the mayor, we pre-closed the subway and we pre-closed the public transportation. There's a lot of prep work that was done in anticipation of this. And there's a day where you wouldn't have known it in enough time to do anything about it.
Absolutely.
We got to end this segment. We are live from the Bell House in Brooklyn, New York.
Want to make mom's day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.